You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Joining me on the line now is Dr. Leila Faree, who is a CEO. She's the CEO of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Dr. Faree, good morning to you, and welcome to the Eusebius MacIsaac Show. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm extremely well, notwithstanding what the world is dealing with, but it is a crisis that shouldn't be wasted. And speaking of which, the opportunity, not just for the state, but also non-state actors, which include, of course, businesses, including ones that trade on the JSE, to demonstrate profound leadership at this point, is an opportunity that we should all grasp and make the most of a crisis we did not wish for. In that regard, can you share with my listeners a really exciting decision that had been taken in relation to trading on the JSE and the much needed Solidarity Fund?
Yes, Eusebius, so we announced at the beginning of the week that the JSB would be contributing its revenues earned across all markets, the equity market, commodities, derivatives market, bond market, towards the Solidarity Fund. And we challenged and invited market participants to stack hands with us and to join us in making any contribution that they would feel appropriate. Now, the JSC will be topping up their revenues because our revenues are not enormous, but we will be topping up and adding to that. And I've been enormously overwhelmed and deeply humbled by the response from the market, because many of these institutions are large financial institutions, and many of them have already given to contributed towards the Solidarity Fund. So it's really impressed me that they are still prepared, notwithstanding their initial contributions, to sacrifice the revenues associated with trading over the last yesterday and today.
So in terms of hard numbers, I mean, I've got no idea how trading works. This lovely initiative, Trade for Solidarity, hashtag Trade for Solidarity. What kind of monies might we see being generated through this initiative, Dr. Faree?
Look, we haven't put any numbers out, and we've deliberately avoided the focus on actual numbers. But it's likely to be in the tens of millions, and how much is yet to be seen, because some of the institutions may be topping up. I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that these institutions have already contributed anywhere between, sort of 10 to over 100 million to the Solid Fund. So these contributions are in addition and over and above what they've already done. So our approach is any value, any amount helps. We've had a number of our black brokers who have just started up businesses and are really still developing their business, who are willing to contribute. And we've had a number of smaller brokers, a number of commodities brokers, and I've been really impressed by the willingness of both small and large institutions to come together, stack hands, and work in unity towards a common cause.
I suppose the next question almost have a self-evident response to it, but I want you to articulate it as you see it. Why is this important?
It's important because financial markets are deep and liquid in the country. They do very well, and they punch way above their weight for the size of our emerging market country. And privilege obligates. Mm. And so I think it's important, firstly, that those who are in a privileged position make a contribution to those who are less privileged. And I think what is also really important is that it sends a message of hope to the general population that big business cares, and that big business is alive and is aware, alive to and aware of what's going on in the ground. And to be honest, I've genuinely been blown away by the impressive response, very rapid and overwhelmingly positive response by all of the financial services. Financial services is traditionally seen as, you know, the sort of bastion of capitalism. And the messaging and the symbolism that this initiative has demonstrated, not only to me, but to everybody else, I think has been very heartwarming. And I think sets us up for a new way of doing business in taking a much different lens to social responsibility in the future.
Heartwarming also as a wordsmith, but the insight more than the words. Something you said in the first part of that response, I think, is so important. I'm going to replay it on the radio several times. You said privilege obligates. We are such a deeply unjust society, aren't we, Dr. Faree, that even though everyone is affected, including the middle class and those who are wealthy and the super rich, it is important that we show solidarity in addition to physical distancing, and solidarity especially with the most indigent, the working poor, the unemployed, the newly unemployed, and those of us who have privilege must accept the obligation that comes with it.
I can't agree more with you, Eusebius. And what I've personally learned through this crisis is that the inequalities and the vulnerabilities of our country and of the people who suffer most have always been there. And it's curious to me that it takes a crisis of this nature and this this proportion to highlight a problem that has been so endemic and so entrenched in our society for all these years. And it's genuinely heartwarming to see that people are stepping up, people yeah. are recognizing that. And Corona has effectively just put into sharp focus what was already there.
Absolutely. A last question adjacent to this one, but slightly off the main topic. In general, Dr. Faree, what has happened to companies that are trading in terms of just the health of those businesses and trading and share prices and what have you, given the fact that the economy is pretty much itself, by and large, with few essential exceptions, in lockdown?
You see, this, I actually put out a leadership summary a while ago, and I said in that I feel as if I've lived my entire CEO career in the last 2 weeks, and that's because of the enormous volatility. So the last time I spoke to the media a couple of weeks ago, we were down over 30%. The Aussie is now down year-to-date 15%. Just in this week, we were up 3.8%, huge boom on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we were down 3.1%. So we've seen huge foreign outflows in March, particularly. So particularly in the bond market, we were down $54 billion year to date, and $55 billion flowed out in March alone.
Wow!
So I think the banks and financials have been the worst affected sectors, followed by resources. The major banks have lost in aggregate 41% of their market share, and yesterday was a particularly bad day because all of the major multinationals came out with results or profit warnings, and that signals the potential negative effect of bad debts with people losing their jobs and not being able to pay for their home loans. So I am concerned about the effect that it's had on the value of pension fund holders. So we had the market cap overall was over 17 trillion, beginning nearly 18 trillion. And it went down to below 14 trillion. We've come back up again to 15.5 trillion. So one hopes that we start to normalize, but I think that the path to getting to a normal position and normal values of our listed entities is going to be much longer than what we normally see in normal crises.
It's interesting the number you mentioned about outflows, because I would have thought there's nowhere to run to, there's nowhere to hide, that the global economy itself is in a crisis. Are some of those numbers due to specifically endogenous economic factors in South Africa? And if I can lastly ask you, related to that question, Dr. Fourie, what are the kinds of things that government can do, if anything, to make some of those numbers be less bad in terms of the nosediving that is taking place? But I am, both questions to me are of interest, because I would have thought, quite frankly, you can't take your money and your assets even offshore this time. I mean, where do you go? There is incredible structural volatility in the global economy, and South Africa is part of that. What's happening here is hardly an exception. It's symptomatic of the global affairs, no?
Absolutely. And in fact, it was interesting. I was watching, I'm a real geek with these numbers, and I was watching the foreign flows out of the country for the first 2 months, January and February, and I was quite surprised that the outflows were, there were outflows, but they were relatively benign, particularly in relation to what I expected because of the Moody's downgrade. And so I think that there's a confluence of both global and local events affecting flows. We did see a big outflow just before the Moody's downgrade response. We saw an enormous outflow during the start of the corona epidemic, and particularly when the World Health made the announcement that this is a pandemic. What is particularly concerning for me is that you do see flows out of emerging markets when a crisis happens, and there's this herd mob mentality with investors putting their money into what they call safe havens, which would be the US government bonds. They also normally put their money into commodities, and that's what we saw in 2008. All emerging markets really benefited with commodity prices rallying. We haven't seen that this time, and this is very concerning for emerging markets, because those flows that would normally buoy the economy in the form of investment into commodities are going into cash, and people are just too scared to invest because of the uncertainty around global trade patterns as a result of corona, around the overall slump that this is going to put the global economy into. And so people are adopting a wait-and-see and a risk-off approach. I think it's going to take a lot longer for them to start having a pent-up demand and searching for yield, which will mean that those funds find their way back into emerging economies and back into South Africa. On your second question, what can the government do?
Especially because government is, as we speak, they've now got version one. Some of them listen to 702. They are now trying to come up with the final version of that economic, quote-unquote, stimulus, some hope. Call it a plan for now. And we'll probably, by Monday or Tuesday, as you know, Dr. Fourie, we will probably get the detail. If they are listening and there's any final input that can go into whatever it is that they are debating with the different clusters, what should be top of mind?
Well, I'm delighted that this creates a catalyst for structural reform in the way they direct funds. And I was particularly pleased to see that the recent decision this week on SAA.
Yes.
So I would say funds invested in state-owned entities could be far better used to stimulate the economy, in particularly small and medium enterprises, and into trying to stimulate consumption. So fiscal stimulus could take the form of either investing in businesses who are under distress in their cash flows, or it could be in the form of handing out checks to the general population who are lower than a certain, you know, at the lower end of the earnings curve. And those two mechanisms have a remarkable uplifting effect. And given our high unemployment rate, I think a general fiscal stimulus in the hands of the general population to try and build consumer confidence and build that willingness to go out and spend again will be vital for our growth.
Absolutely.
Money going into SOEs is not going to help us.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how that big ideological debate is now being forced upon us in an urgent way because of the pandemic. And pragmatism that is reigning in a way in which you would never have thought possible even 6 months ago, when there was this addiction, complete addiction to having good money chasing after bad state-owned entities.
Yes, I rather ironic that it's caused by a crisis of this nature, but it's not one good crisis.
Absolutely. Dr. Faree, you've been absolutely brilliant. We'd love to have you back in future. Thank you both for the initiative that I think is fantastic in terms of helping out with the Solidarity Fund, firstly. And secondly, thank you for giving us the crucial updated data about what is happening as well economically. I really do appreciate both of those. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Leila Faree, CEO of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.